Some of the key aspects to keep in mind as we prepare for this year's elections, next on Gospel of Life. Hello, I'm Father Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. We are joined by Janet Marana, our Associate Director. Janet, we are in an election year, and we have got to help our fellow Christians to think clearly about what issues are most important as we decide whom we're going to vote for. And it's so easy for people to be swept away by things that they think are important or ways that this candidate is going to help them, and lose sight of what we call the common good, the bigger picture of what somebody being in office, whether it's the President of the United States, all the way on down to the local school boards, what that's going to mean for the good of the community.
Well, you know, Father, recently we had an opportunity to interview a good friend of our ministry, David Barton, and he has a ministry called Wall Builders. And I think he is one of the, I would call, the key experts when it comes to looking at our country's history and looking at the founding fathers and their original intent and what really inspiring Christians of today as to why they need to vote.
Yes, wallbuilders.com is their website, and David and we have been together on many occasions, including right on this set. One of the beautiful things when David gives a talk about the founding fathers, he pulls out not a copy, but the original letters of so many of the writings of our founding fathers. He really knows what their original intent was in establishing our form of government. That, in fact, is the title of one of David's books, right. Original Intent. But in any case, yes, and we talked to him about this very question of, you know, not all the issues are equal. There are many different issues that we consider in an election, but they're not all equal. One concern builds upon another. So, for example, if you want to talk about the concern for the homeless, well, we have a concern for the homeless, and it's a very proper concern, and we have to help the homeless to find homes. But the reason that homelessness is an issue is because life is an issue. If the life of the homeless person didn't matter, well, then it wouldn't matter that they were homeless.
That's right. Just like, you know, we're interested in good education or that everyone has food to eat and all those other issues, but they have to be alive first before they need to be provided with those issues. And that's why life is the fundamental issue.
And not only that, but we also have a situation where people in elections belong to political parties. And not only does the candidate have positions, but so do the parties. And we're always recommending, and of course we have it on our special election website, where people can read the platforms of the major political parties and understand what direction those parties believe our nation should go. It's okay to belong to a party, but our loyalties have to be in the proper order as well. And David, of course, talked about that too. So why don't we listen to these remarks by David Barton, president and founder of Wall Builders.
Vote and vote biblically, and then get everybody else they know to vote. It's not enough to vote. You have to vote biblically, and you have to make the analysis based on biblical stands where the scripture comes down on a number of issues. And I would safely say you can rank those issues. I talked to Christians after the last election who voted, and in my opinion, had voted on the wrong side biblically. And I asked them, how can you do this? And they said, well, this candidate has a great stand with the poor and what they're doing to the poor. And I said, all right. I buy that that is a biblical issue. I mean, we know in James 1:26, pure religion, undefiled before God, to help the poor and orphans. I buy that. But I'll tell you, the poor doesn't make God's top 10. You take the Ten Commandments, preservation of innocent life does make it. Mm-hmm. Preservation of marriage and morality does make it. Mm-hmm. There's some that are more important than others. And protection of life is one. Protection of marriage is another.
You just mentioned the Ten Commandments as a basis for our early formation documents?
The first code of laws ever passed in America, 1610 Virginia, contained every one of the Ten Commandments. Said, Ten Commandments, Bible verse, therefore this civil law. Same was done throughout most of the original colonies as they formed their laws. You get to the time of the Founding Fathers, same thing. We have over 500 Supreme Court decisions at either state or federal Supreme Court level where they quote the Ten Commandments as the absolute final word on the issues. And so for American jurisprudence, that's the way it was. And for a Christian, it needs to be that way in our thinking, that what God has said is the most important needs to be the most important. That doesn't mean other things aren't important, but there is a ranking to them. And come voting time, when that vote comes, we got to get our priorities right according to the way that God sees things and lines them out in the Scriptures. And again, in the Ten Commandments, life and marriage are two of the things that go in his top ten. They're big to him.
Let's talk about party voting for a moment. You know, a lot of people, there's nothing wrong with belonging to a political party. There's nothing wrong with being loyal to a political party. But there's something very wrong when a person's loyalty to a party is greater than their loyalty to God and moral principles.
That's exactly right. There's a great example from history on this. One of my favorite founding fathers, a guy named Benjamin Rush. He signed the Declaration of Independence. He is the father of modern medicine. He's called the father of public schools under the Constitution. When he died in 1813, the other founders, John Adams and Jefferson, said he was one of the top three founders. So this guy, huge name. We don't ever talk about him anymore. But this man, top three founder, signed the Declaration. He later served in three different presidential administrations, Jefferson, Adams, then Jefferson, then Madison. Now, all three of those guys came from three different political parties. So here's a guy who is partisan. He was part of a party. He signs a declaration. He's in a party. And then he serves for guys from three different parties. And somebody went to him one time and said, what's your party affiliation? This was his answer. He says, I've alternately been called an aristocrat and a Democrat. He says, I'm neither. He says, I'm a Christocrat. And that's exactly right. I'm going to vote what Christ would, if Christ had opportunity to vote for which of these candidates, which one would he vote for? And that's who I'm going to vote for. The scripture, Proverbs 29:2 says, when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. It doesn't say when the Democrats, Republicans, when the Green Party, when the Constitutional Party. It doesn't say when a party rules. It says when the righteous rule.
Yes.
And that's what we as voters have to do, is say which one is righteous by the stands that God has put forth. If Jesus Christ were casting a vote for these two guys, who would he vote for?
Well, friends, you can see why David is such a good friend of our ministry and why we have him on so often, because the clarity with which he thinks these things through and expresses himself is very, very helpful to us all. And putting Christ at the center of our voting decisions is part and parcel of putting him at the center of all our decisions.
That's right. And I think that key phrase David says is to be a Christocrat.
Yes.
That's what I say I am. I'm a Christocrat.
Exactly. Well, we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to continue to talk about some of the key issues at stake in the elections of this year. So don't go away.
There's nothing wrong with your television set. You don't see anything because there's nothing there. Abortion. The most common surgery in America. Why don't we ever see what it looks like? A message from Priests for Life.
Now you can make a difference in the lives of the unborn for as little as $12. Make your donation today and we'll send you a copy of the pro-life masterpiece, Earth's Trash, Heaven's Treasure. Vivid imagery and striking colors come together in a painting that captures the essence of eternal hope for the unborn. You'll help change the hearts and lives of people everywhere. Plus, you'll have a treasured piece of artwork that serves as a daily reminder of the beauty of precious living souls. Make your donation today.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. The elections of 2008 are coming very quickly. Election day is November the 4th of 2008. Be sure it's marked on your calendar. But even more so, if your state has early voting, then please vote early. And you can find out if your state does have early voting by going to politicalresponsibility.org. That is our special election website. And we have all the different laws for each state and the election dates so that you know if you can vote even before Election Day. Now, Janet, many things are at issue in this year's election. One of them, of course, is the topic of judges.
That's right. And once again, we're faced with the possibility of two more Supreme Court vacancies. The next president of this country will.
Two or more.
Two or more.
Who knows?
And, you know, some people say, well, you know, I'm getting so disgusted to listen to all this political talk. You know, some people are just tuning it out now and saying, maybe I'm not even going to bother to vote. Well, you're not just sitting out the next 4 years. You're sitting out the next 40 years because of these Supreme Court vacancies that we know are going to happen during the next presidency.
And not only the Supreme Court, but the other federal courts as well. Because the president has the responsibility, as you know, to nominate judges to fill those particular slots on the bench. And the United States Senate has the responsibility to give what the Constitution calls advice and consent. They vote on the president's nominations. And only a very, very small percentage of cases ever end up at the Supreme Court. But, of course, the Supreme Court is supreme. Therefore, what this means is that these other federal courts do, in fact, have the last word on so many issues of the day. Now, we have a particular problem, and that is judicial activism, where the judges, many of them, think that they write social policy, that the people can pass a law through their elected representatives and the judges can just negate that law. This is not the way our government was set up.
No, it's not. And, you know, David Barton has done extensive research into the documents of the Founding Fathers. And he's quite convincing when he tells you, like, this is the intent of the Founding Fathers, and this is not what's happening in our country today, where judges are overturning laws passed, especially on the state level.
Well, let's let David now give us some more examples of what he means when he says that judges are a key issue in this election.
Give us a little background on the problem we face today with judges.
And the problem we face today with the judges is we don't have a culture war if it's not for judges. We do not have a legislature in America that legalized abortion, but judges did. We don't have a legislature in America that said you can't pray at football games anymore. Judges did. We don't have a legislature in America that said you can't have prayers at graduations of school. Judges did. We don't have a legislature in America that said we're going to have partial birth abortions. Judges did. We don't have a legislature in America that said you can't put up the Ten Commandments. Judges did. You take any cultural, moral issue that we face today, it has been judges that have decreed the policy upon Americans, and by and large, at opposition to by the American people. We've got 77% of the nation wants the Ten Commandments, but judges said no. I mean, you take every issue. 70% of the nation says stop partial birth abortion. Judges said no, we think we'll let it go. So the whole culture war we have here is the judges against the people, by and large.
And in fact, on that example you just mentioned, partial birth abortion, we had two of the other branches of government said stop this.
That's right.
Right? The Congress
stop
banned
this.
It. The president
and signed
it. 35
states had said stop this.
And
it was still growing when the court said it's okay.
And we're talking about unelected judges.
Unelected judges. See, these are unelected judges telling the rest of us what our policies will and won't be. And I tell you, that would drive our founding fathers through the roof. It's untenable. They wrote the Constitution so that wouldn't happen, but we don't read that anymore.
Well, you know, David, that's my question. How did this all get started? You know,
the two premises that Sam Adams and these other guys took into the Constitutional Convention as they're debating it and these guys are influencing it, they said, number one, we don't want judges appointed for life. We're not going to have life appointments. And they said, number two, we're going to make sure judges are accountable to the people. Now, today we hear all the time federal judges are appointed for life. No, Article 3, Section 2 of the Constitution says they're appointed for the duration of good behavior. As long as they behave right, they can stay on the bench. Well, what's bad behavior mean? Well, the Founding Fathers tell us. That's those other six clauses, one of which deals with impeaching judges. Impeachment of judges doesn't occur because they commit crimes. Impeachment of judges occurs because they committed bad behavior. Now, how do you define that? There's several things. The first Supreme Court that overturned a law of Congress, the Founding Fathers proceeded to impeach Supreme Court justices. They said, whoa, we make the laws. You guys don't make the laws. You don't make the policy. We do. So Founding Fathers thought that's bad behavior for a judge to overturn a law of Congress. It's been the last 70 years that we've changed the way we've done things.
You just said to me about bad behavior. It strikes me about the partial birth abortion case.
That's bad behavior.
So those judges that voted against that law, they should be gone.
That
right now.
One judge in San Francisco, mm-hmm. out in California, says, I don't think I like that law. The whole nation can't enforce this law because I don't like it. That's bad behavior by a judge. You don't have an unelected judge tell the legislature what it's to do. That judge hadn't been through the deliberative process. That judge is not a policymaker. That judge is not elected by the people to make policy, and she's made policy for the rest of the nation.
The bottom line is, do we govern ourselves?
That's right.
Well, again, we're grateful for David's insights. You know, Janet, when people realize that it is it is at the feet of the courts and the judges that we have to lay the blame for so much as what has gone on and gone wrong with social policy, then at least it helps them to understand what's at stake. So what we're saying is that when you look at a candidate for public office, you don't want to only ask his or her position on the issues. You want to ask, what kind of people does this candidate think should be judges in our country? Judges who are going to strictly interpret what the Constitution or various statutory laws actually say, or judges who think that they can rewrite the Constitution and the laws.
That's right. And you know what? The way David pointed out that there was no law passed by the people to make abortion legal, you know, and prayer in public schools, you know, people, when he says that judges did that, I don't think many people really understand. How did we get a prayer banned out of public school? It wasn't a law that was passed state by state. It was one woman who brought a case through the courts, and that's what happened.
Well, once again, his book, Original Intent, is a great source because it traces how the courts gradually took over a role that the Constitution never intended to give them. And we're interested in sending that book to those who would want to receive it. They can just contact us at Gospel of Life. But, you know, another thing that goes on here is that so many of the politicians think that it's just fine that the judges play this particular role, because then what they, the lawmakers, can end up saying when people write to them and say, well, why are we allowing abortion, or why don't we have prayer in schools? They can kind of wash their hands and say, well, it's not my fault. It's the judges. It's the courts. They did it. And they think that they're absolving themselves of responsibility. We're not going to let them do that. We have to go into these elections understanding that we want men and women in public office, starting with the presidency, but at all the different legislative bodies as well. We want people going into those positions ready to take responsibility for crafting and ultimately passing laws that reflect the views of their constituents, and not to try to take responsibility off their own shoulders and lay it on the judges.
That's right. Well, that's why it's so important for everyone to make sure for this election that they're registered to vote, and
right,
they look at they've got to research the candidates and their positions.
Yes.
Because that's really the key issue, and they have to participate.
Well, the term we want to look for out of the mouths of these various candidates is strict constructionist,
right,
judges. In other words, a strict constructionist is the kind of judge we're looking for,
right,
who reads the Constitution and doesn't invent rights that aren't in it, like a right to abortion, for example.
But the phrases the candidates like to use really is, one candidate might say something like, well, I'll promise to nominate people like Alito, you know,
and
Judge
Roberts.
And Roberts.
Right,
and
exactly.
And other people will say, well, I'll appoint people who will keep Roe, protect Roe, and you know, things like that. And that's how you tell. It's those kind of political phrases the candidates use.
One of the phrases they also use is those that believe in the activist judges who write social policy, is that the Constitution is a living document.
Right.
Well,
living,
you know, I mean, it's living in the sense that it's relevant,
right,
but it's not living in the sense that it starts growing extra limbs and extra heads and starts saying things that the founders never intended.
Right.
Well, anyway, thanks a lot, Janet, for your comments. And brothers and sisters, let's be active. PoliticalResponsibility.org is the website we've designed to help you to be more and more active in this particular matter. As we speak about these things, our pastoral team is traveling throughout the country, and we will be coming to a neighborhood near you in the not-too-distant future. You can check our website. In the coming weeks, I will be, well, on the 20th of July, I will be in Auburn Hills, Michigan, for a pro-life event in the afternoon. On the weekend of August 1st and 2nd, I'll be in Wichita, Kansas, speaking at the Midwest Catholic Family Conference. And Janet will be in Hawaii from August the 9th to the 21st at various speaking engagements. Well, stay with us. Don't go away. We're going to be back with our action segment to give you more things to do for life.
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. In the last 12 years, half of the nation's freestanding abortion clinics have closed, and the abortion industry is on the run. Gospel of Life Ministries has played a vital role in the rescue of countless children and is currently in place to save thousands more. But we urgently need your support to make this happen. Not everyone can be on the front line of this battle, but when you support Gospel of Life, you are saving lives. Your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help us provide alternatives to women who think they have no choice but abortion. And for those countless women who have lost children to abortion, Gospel of Life Ministries will help them find forgiveness, healing, and peace in the cross of Christ and become outspoken advocates for the lives of their unborn children. The help you provide will also bring the saving word of life to churches through a training program that is raising a mass voice that will see abortion stopped. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Welcome to our action segment. Janet, today we're going to give people the most powerful way that they can persuade someone that abortion is wrong.
That's right. You know, basically, abortion, the word has kind of lost its meaning. It kind of is, you know, really, most people don't really understand what an abortion is.
Well, they trivialize it in
exactly.
their minds.
And they also like to say that, oh, well, abortion only occurs in the first trimester or in the first few weeks of pregnancy. But what they have to realize is abortions are occurring in this country through all 9 months of pregnancy, unhealthy babies. And on our website, gospeloflife.com, we have the evidence. We have the pictures of aborted babies. And we know there is nothing that helps convert people to say abortion should be outlawed is to see these images.
Well, we know that from experience because we use these images. You know, it's amazing. Some people will say, well, you know, I don't know if these images really work. And usually the people who are saying that are ones that don't use them. We use them and we see every day the power of people who will come to the website, look at the pictures of the aborted babies and say, I was pro-choice up until a few minutes ago until I started watching these pictures. So what we're saying is people should take action by challenging those with whom they may be debating the abortion issue to look at it and to say, have you ever seen an abortion? And if you haven't, go to our website, look, challenge them to look at those pictures. Sure. Or they can email the link, or they can download the photos, they can print them out, they can do any one of those things or more to get these images in front of the eyes of as many people as possible.
And then in addition to having the images of the actual aborted babies, we actually have from our friends at Nucleus Medical Arts. Now, this is a company that makes the medical diagrams of surgery
yes.
for court cases.
Yes.
And they have two procedures up there. It's the first trimester and second trimester abortion. And again, people don't realize what happens during an abortion. This is a simple diagram that they can order from us at gospellife.com. And the next time people say, oh, it's a simple little procedure, just a blob of tissue, take this medical diagram out and say that this is what we're talking about.
We will send those diagrams. They're in 8.5 by 11 form. We also have some large poster size versions of these diagrams. But we will send as many of these diagrams as people may want. The sky's the limit. If people can use, you know, thousands of them, we will make them available. Because the diagram is on one side of the 8.5 by 11 sheet, and on the other side are the words of abortionists themselves, okay, not our words, yours or mine, but the words of abortionists themselves describing step by step these procedures.
That's right.
So that when people see the word dismemberment or decapitation, they know that that's not just the rhetoric of some pro-life fanatic. That's the wording used by the abortionists themselves who are performing these procedures legally.
That's right. And then in addition, we have another great resource. It's called The Procedure.
Yes.
This is a several chapters of a DVD. One chapter actually has a medical doctor describing the abortion procedure with fetal models and the actual instruments that we use during an abortion. And then another chapter shows another medical doctor doing a autopsy on an aborted baby. Not doing it, but describing the child, how the child died, mm-hmm. from what type of an abortion, and so forth and so on. And this is a great resource, again, to help convince people the damage that is occurring to that unborn child during an abortion.
So once again, having these available for one-on-one conversations, for email, for talks and presentations, for slides that one might want to show during a presentation. And of course, you always warn the audience that they're about to see something that's very disturbing and very graphic. If people don't want to watch it, they can simply close their eyes or turn away. So we don't want to impose things on people that are going to shock or trouble them. But we hope people will watch, of course, because we have to see that we have to let these horrifying images disturb us enough that it prompts us into action to stop the violence.
That's right. I also encourage them to really use the internet to get this message out. A link to these pictures could be as a footer to all your email messages, a simple challenge. Mm-hmm. And what people have to realize is when they click over, they're not immediately seeing that picture. They have to go through another click or two. So again, you're not forcing something on them, but it's a challenge to face what abortion really is.
Well, friends, let's take that challenge now and let's look at what abortion does to these babies.
You were looking at the face of an unborn child, 25 and a half weeks into pregnancy. This child can be legally killed by abortion in America. As this ad from the Yellow Pages proves, some abortion clinics sell abortions up to 28 weeks. Abortion kills living children whose hearts are beating and whose bodily organs are all in place. Abortion. Haven't we gone too far?
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today. The Gospel of Life program is made possible by the supporters of Gospel of Life Ministries and Priests for Life. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of stopping abortion and providing post-abortion healing. Specific outreaches mentioned are examples of the programs conducted and supported. Gifts are considered to be without use restriction unless specifically stipulated by the donor.